Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT, here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we're going to be joined later in the show by our Yoda, our shining light.
The lightning radio guru.
Yes, Matt Salmon. He'll be joining us later in the show, so make sure you stick around for that. It's our, you know, annual recap so far of what's happened with the lightning, and it's always a fun time. So make sure you stick around for that. But first, we want to get into the big news around the league this season.
That's right.
Or this last week.
It's CT's birthday week. Big news.
That's not the big news around the NHL. But
well, thanks. Hey, we don't know that.
Yeah, you know what? Something tells me Gary Bettman's not going to be sending me a card. But, you know, it'd be nice. Hey, Gary, what's up? Let's talk about how we have a new team coming into the league in 2021. Is that what it is? Or 21-22? I don't know. One of the two. It's coming.
I was so excited to see this because I've been following the saga of Seattle.
Yes. Yeah, so if you haven't heard, Seattle's getting a team.
Seattle's getting a team.
Right.
And as most people know, they, for years and years and years, had the Supersonics. And then there was a little bit of a kerfluffle.
Is that basketball?
That is basketball.
Okay. Got it.
Or round ball or hoops.
Okay.
For those who don't know.
Believe it or not, I used to play a little bit in grade school and not in middle school. But, you know, was that basketball team? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, as most people know, years ago, they got into this, 10, 11 years ago at this point, got into a new owner. The new owner moved them to Oklahoma City. They became the Thunder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it all came down to the fact that they didn't have a stadium. The stadium was in disarray. It was really bad. They want a new stadium. Seattle, the city, said no. Back and forth, they leave. Long story short.
Okay.
So it all hinged on, and listen, it wasn't like Seattle didn't love their basketball. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with this, you know, schism between new ownership and the city.
Which is always fun.
Which are always fun. And you feel horrible for the fans when those things happen. Because they, you know, they were showing up. They loved that team. So when we found out that former Lightning executive Todd Lewicki, who's now in Seattle.
Yeah.
When they announced, what, about a year ago or so, that they were getting a new arena, I thought, awesome. Everybody said basketball, basketball. And I kept saying, and I'm telling you they're getting a hockey team. Because look at Tyler Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's from the area. You know, there are a lot of hockey played in Washington State.
Right.
But because they don't have an NHL team, we don't really hear about it. We hear a lot of teams in, you know, the University of Maine and the Vermonts and stuff like that. There is a lot of hockey in that Pacific Northwest, especially with their proximity to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had a feeling it was a matter of time. But I did not think it would happen this soon. I just did not. I mean, I think it's awesome. I am so psyched.
Well, I mean, when the 31st team in the league was awarded,
right,
I was like, okay, this isn't going to last long.
Either we're losing somebody.
Right. Or we're adding. And I think once the Las Vegas Golden Knights were in the playoffs last year, they were like, okay, we're doing this. We're adding. We're not going to take away.
Yeah. And they're paying a little bit more.
A little bit. But you think that's a Vegas effect?
It's inflation. It's been 2 years. So, if you know, when the whole thing.
Right.
So the price is going to balloon.
But it's not like an expansion team when the Lightning were an expansion team.
It's
not the same thing. The drafting is different. You have more of a chance to really kind of
level
win.
Up. Yep.
You know, level the playing field, win now with an expansion team. So it's super exciting, and I think it's going to be really cool for those in Vancouver who are Canucks fans. Like now, they're gonna have like an actual like geographical rival because I feel like they're so far away from everybody else up there in Vancouver. So I think it's gonna be a nice little rivalry.
It's gonna be super cool. And the crazy thing is everybody kept thinking NBA, 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 NBA. No, it's NHL. They don't have an NBA team yet.
Right.
So it's just really super cool. And I've never been to Seattle. It's kind of one of those places I've always wanted to go.
Right. Me neither. I've never been there.
It just looks so pretty.
Yeah.
And kind of sad in a way, but not in a bad way, just a rainy way.
But it's
going to
be
way.
A lot happier now. There's going to be an NHL team up there.
So they don't know a name. They don't know any of that.
Lots of speculation.
There's a very fun article from ESPN.
You're going to tweet it, right?
Yeah. I'm going to tweet it out. It's really kind of fun. It's not real. At first, I thought it was real. And CT's like, no, it's just silly. They're just being fun. It's a fun article. But I was really like, wow, did you see the new uniforms? And she's like, I didn't even know they had a name. I didn't even know we had like a full.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, there yet. But some of the names they've come up with are super kind of, it's kind of fun. There's two that I'm going to tweet out on this article that you guys are going to see. One of them is the Aviators.
Right.
And another one is the Pilots.
Right.
So
I think Boeing is up there. So they have a huge history in aviation. So that makes sense.
I like that.
Yeah. I think it's cool. There's
but you had a better.
I
think it actually, after you said it, I was like, actually, I like that better.
The Seattle Storm.
Yeah.
You got the Lightning in the Florida. Mm-hmm. And you got the Seattle Storm up there.
I mean, you have the Seahawks because it's
Seattle Seahawks.
Their championship,
football
incredibly
team.
Good soccer team.
Yeah.
The Seattle Sounders after
soccer
Seattle Sound.
Yeah, the soccer team.
Kind of makes sense if we're going to go with that sea theme.
Yeah.
I hope it's just not some weird, like the Crabbers or something weird.
Or the Kraken.
The Kraken.
Kraken, which is one of the ideas.
Of these things.
But, I don't know because you got the Carolina Hurricanes already. You got the Tampa Bay Lightning. How much weather? The Seattle Tornadoes?
Do they have tornadoes?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do. Maybe if we got a team in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was just about to say, maybe like Kansas or Oklahoma. Maybe. I don't know.
In 2040, we'll have a team called the Oklahoma Tornadoes. No, I don't know. I think the Pilots are kind of cool.
Yeah.
The Aviators, I think there's a lot of really cool visuals that you could do in game.
Yeah, and that is such a great.
And then they'll have a official airline of the Seattle whatever.
And we all know that the Seattle Seahawks have that green. I love that green. I don't care how many people. You can
the
hate
navy
me all
and
you
the,
want.
And the lime green. Yes. I think it, I mean, it's different.
And the Sounders do it too.
Mm-hmm.
So
you think there's going to be some
I
lime
want
green
some of that
there?
Lime green. I don't care what it is.
Are there any teams other than? No. Whalers had a green, but they're no longer.
They're no longer. I mean.
So.
I mean, I really hope there's some kind of hint of green because I think it.
I mean, it'd be really cool if, like, they, you know, kind of knocked off the Seattle Seahawks colors, the navy and the green.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be different.
I
thought
like
the Vegas Golden Knights jerseys were different. I mean, I love seeing grown men walking around a hockey arena wearing hockey jerseys that have gold glitter on them. It makes me so happy.
And, you know, Winnipeg.
Yep.
They've. Have really sharp.
Yeah.
You know, I have always thought ever since they came back, I'm like, wow, those are really sharp.
Yeah, there's some really sharp.
The Blue Jackets even.
Yeah.
I mean, those are pretty sharp.
I think the Lightning are pretty sharp.
Oh, sure.
There is one thing that I would love the Lightning merchandise to come with. Though.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I was in Vegas for the games, all the women were wearing these full sequin bomber jackets with like the athletic black and white like wrists and like collar. I want a Lightning blue sequined jacket with the logo with a bolt on the back. That's all I want. I will pay $150 for it. I don't because I get my season ticket discount, but I want one because they looked so sharp and all the ladies were wearing them and like it just looked really cool in the arena.
Well, it does get cold in Las Vegas, correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a little nipply when I was there.
Yeah, like it's because it's the desert.
Yeah.
It's hot in the day
but
and cold at night.
The last two home games, I've been walking to the games in sweatpants and sweatshirts because it was cold outside. And it, you know what? Even when it's not cold outside, the arena gets really cold. Like, there's like a wind tunnel above where I sit. Like, I'm like Beyonce halfway through the game. My hair's just blowing in the wind. And if they're playing really poorly, they crank that thing down to make it colder.
Well, but I always keep saying one of these times we're going to video record, like, our, our show.
Oh, I'm very animated.
Face. She got very serious.
I want one.
She said that with very, like, it was cold. I had to wear a sweatshirt.
Yes, it was. I wore sweatpants and sweatshirt.
Jim Cantore is in North Carolina with Armageddon of snow, but she.
I was cold.
She had to wear a sweatshirt.
Well, I was walking from my place where I live. It's a 20-minute walk outside.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little chilly. But yeah, it's my birthday show. I want a Lightning bomber jacket with a bolt on the silver bolt on the back and like this beautiful royal blue.
I love
sequin.
I love the Lightning blue.
Get that thing. You got the Blazers with all the bolts all over it. I want a sequined blue bomber jacket.
Something.
With a bolt on the back.
The bolt on the back.
The entire jacket is sequined, except for the collar and the wrists.
You're gonna stand out.
Okay. Because I will tell you, I will not be the only female who will buy that.
No.
And it looks sharp. So anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox. But let's talk about kind of, okay, so tweet us like names that you think would be cool for up there.
Because we've never been.
No, I've never been. And some of the other names on this link that we're going to tweet out is the Seattle Sushi. Okay, that's interesting.
I dislike.
The Seattle Grays.
I'm not sure if that's because of the weather, like the gray sky.
I get it, but it doesn't invoke fear in me. You know, it's not scary.
It's just sad.
It's a color. Yeah.
It's sad.
The Kraken, apparently there are a bunch of Kraken. The Metropolitan.
I don't quite get that one either.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so tweet us. At Game Misconduct, what you think the Seattle team should be named.
Yeah.
And if you'd wear a blue sequin lightning bolt bomber jacket.
No, of course, there is a little bit of, for us here, a little bit of uh-oh. And that means we're going to be having to go through another expansion draft.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
I mean, we lost what, Jason Garrison?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be okay.
It's a couple years.
And we've got time to plan for it.
Yeah, we have time to plan for it.
Yeah. So.
I'm not going to panic.
Let's not think about, no panic. We're not going to think about it yet. We're not there yet. Let's figure out a name for a team first, and then we can think about that.
I mean, we can call them whatever we want. I just don't want it to be like the Seattle Stamkoses or anything like that.
Oh, stop. The Seattle Tyler Johnsons, though.
Ooh, I don't like that either.
I don't like that either.
I don't like any of it. They should have to go figure it out on their own. Don't take our people.
And you know what? Looking at our roster right now, if we were to have to go through an expansion draft, there would be no one I would be comfortable with putting up on that.
I'm sorry. And that was the thing. Like, you can only protect so many.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to protect. I want to protect them all.
You know, like we had faith in Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
I believe in Julien Brisebois. He will make the right decisions so that when we get to that point, where there is an expansion draft.
Yeah, he will, for sure.
We will be fine.
Yeah.
I have all the confidence in the world. But let's talk about kind of what this means for the league, because there's going to be some shaking out. They're going to rattle the tree a little bit. So the Seattle, what's my ever bucket call it, are going to be in the Pacific Division. And Arizona is moving from Pacific to Central when the team kicks off. So, I mean, really no... Nothing that will affect us.
No, not
here in Tampa Bay.
Well, the only thing it would probably affect is when they do that Central Division trip. They usually do like Minnesota, Chicago, St. Louis.
They sent Central Division trips, but they really do it geographically. Like, where are they in the most proximity to? So I'm really not.
It doesn't really affect us. I mean, obviously, it affects like the Minnesota Wild. It affects the Arizona Coyotes.
Right. Or Phoenix Coyotes. No, Arizona. That's right. Arizona. They changed it. I can never remember. It's really not going to affect us too much. They're going to travel geographically. And here's one of the nice things. When they go up to Vancouver to play a game, they're going to be able to knock out two games at one time and not just go all the way up to Vancouver and then fly. They usually hit that on when usually it's either a Canadian trip. The Western Canadian trip, or they hit it when they're on the West Coast, like L.A.
Oh, this year they're hitting it on the Winnipeg-Edmonton.
Right.
Winnipeg-Edmonton trip. So, it'll be interesting to have another. I don't know. I'm very excited about it. I thought we were all excited, I think, when Las Vegas got the team. And we were like, oh, that's neat because it's not a traditional hockey market. And hey, it's kind of like we feel you. I kind of feel like Seattle's a traditional hockey market.
I mean,
maybe it's just geography in my.
I think it's probably just geography. I think it's going to be. I mean, those hockey fans up there have wanted a team for a really long time. So I think they're going to get a good one. And I think with seeing how the expansion draft went for Vegas, how you're not having to climb out of the depths of, hockey basement your first season, like you really have a chance to do something special.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. It's one of those things where, I think the NHL, as much as people don't like talking about the commissioner, for some reason, I still don't get it. he's done a lot for growing the sport and popularity and profit and markability and all these other things.
Absolutely. I mean, when the concussion hullabaloo came about a couple seasons ago, they jumped into action.
They did.
And it's not fixed, but we don't, like, there are protocols in place and they make sure they follow them. And, you know, they're always going to be an, you know, one case here and there that's, you know, going to fly under the radar, but that's just with the amount of hockey that's being played, it's, you know, but they jumped into action. You look at other sports, football. I mean, just all the different things, all the different things that have gone on between
the players, legal, the
players' legal troubles, the concussions. You know, they've really kind of, you know, we've got to be careful about concussions. We know a lot more about CTE than we did before, so you've got to make those rule changes. But I feel like it's gotten a bit soft. Football,
yeah.
When, you know, you could look at hockey and think, well, there's not as much fighting. There isn't as hard of a hits like but it's gotten faster. And I find that a lot more interesting than a slow, hard hitting game. Scoring has just flourished. Like you look at the not just the Lightning scores, but the scores around the league. There aren't a lot of 2-1 games, 1-0 games. They're 6-7-5 goals a game for one team.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of 4-3 games
and 6-5, 5-4s. It's crazy.
So I think when, you know, there was a chance where hockey could have taken a step back, they saw, well, now here's an opportunity to make the game faster.
Yeah. So they didn't take anything. I mean, here's what they did. And I know old schoolers don't like this, but I'm going to say it. You took out things that just were incident, like just things that didn't matter. They were unnecessary.
Right.
They took out unnecessary things. Fighting was unnecessary. Oh, it was fun. Yay.
Well, they didn't take out fighting. They just encouraged.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, they didn't take out fighting.
No.
With the change of not playing a slow, hard hitting game, you had to adapt and change your team to be a skilled faster team.
Right.
So that just organically kind of eliminated the fighting. Now, we're still going to see Anthony Cirelli kind of jaw at people and try to like throw a little nudge here and there, but we're not seeing like Broad Street Bully, like bench crawling brawls once a night
that's
when there's a game.
And that's kind of what I meant.
Right. But it's just a factor of them kind of taking out that unnecessary stuff and really not encouraging the fighting. It's just kind of one of those things that happen.
The instigating rule, I think, had a lot to do with it.
Absolutely.
Also, you know, the boarding and the this and the that. And it's like, you know, a lot of those fights back in the day
started because of that.
Were because a guy, somebody, you know, the star player got drilled.
Right.
And then Forcer went out and let him know, nope, nope, nope. But we don't have that now.
No, I mean,
as much.
Because, you know, teams don't want to get hurt. You know, you don't want your star players going out there and throwing a punch and breaking their hand.
And I think there's been a more, I don't want to say sportsmanship-like, but I think more people care about
the skill fast.
The skill fast. And we're also in an age of free agency, which means these guys that, you know, down the road could be your teammate, you know, stuff. I just think overall, it's a different psychology about theology. You know what I'm saying? About the game itself.
Right. It's a different way of thinking about the game, which I think
is safer.
I don't know if I can credit this all to the commissioner, but I think it was the commissioner and the people around him and the board of governors. And I just hit the mic. My hands. See, I talk with my hands. It happens. So you can't stand too close to me because my hand might hit you.
People are at work just jerking all over with the.
So I'm a little animated. But yeah, so I think. I don't know if it was thought out that way, but or it just kind of fell into place. But I think NHL hockey is in, you know, it's expanding. It's becoming more popular. It's becoming more mainstream.
The ratings are up
when you can look at football. And I don't know that you can say the ratings are up because I know
they're going down.
I know a lot of people.
I don't watch that anymore.
You know where I would be every Sunday at 1 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
On my couch or with my friends watching a game. Not doing that so much anymore.
Yeah.
I miss it, but it's just like, it's kind of, I'm not entertained as much by it anymore.
No. And hockey's become more entertaining. And also, I must say, it's more inclusive.
Absolutely.
They are very inclusive of women and children.
Yes, absolutely. It's a family game.
It is a family game. And you couldn't say that back in the day. It was kind of like, you know, when I was younger, my parents were always very, very nervous to take me to the Spectrum to Flyers games.
Well, I think anybody would be nervous to go to the Spectrum for a Flyers game if you weren't like, you know, looking like Jason Momoa.
But it was like...
That was an Aquaman reference today. Yes. Yeah. Top of mind. Sorry.
Okay.
Top of mind.
I mean, I don't think anybody gets mad over Jason Momoa references.
Aquaman. Anyway, sorry. They're not paying for any being a part of the show at all. But no,
it was a thing where my parents were like, ooh, do we really want to expose her to that? No, it was a different game.
Right, right.
It was a different, you know, team.
Well, I also think that's geographics too.
Maybe.
You know, some other cities.
Well, they took me to Sixers games.
Well, yeah, but like, I feel like that's just a fan base. Mm. Like the Lightning.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Lightning games. We used to go to Sixers games at the Spectrum and it was fine.
Lightning games are very safe to take the family to.
Yeah.
When I wasn't in New York, I was wearing my Lightning jersey. Yeah. And this was 4 or 5 seasons ago. And one of the guys at the concession stand was like, boy, you wouldn't have been able to wear that jersey and not been, you know, hassled 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, because
so it's just an evolution.
It's an evolution and mm-hmm. it's inclusive.
Yeah. All the hockey day for girls, mm-hmm. the sled hockey teams, mm-hmm. you know, but I just think the NHL has done it right.
I agree.
They saw an opportunity where things could go one way.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to make it go the other way, and they've been working to
kind
of...
And they've been rewarded
absolutely.
With it. So I think it's going to be super cool when Seattle gets the team, because I would love to see, the festivities.
Right.
I mean, I've never gone to Seattle. Maybe I start
Should we
saving
go?
Now.
Should we go?
That would be
if
so
we can get
cool.
a ticket.
How cool would that be?
Maybe we can go cover it for the show.
Oh. Wait a minute.
We'll have to ask Matt Salmon about that.
Yeah,
you know?
We should.
But,
we should.
What was I going to... I was going to say something very important. Now I thought... I was like, ooh, Seattle trip. Ooh. when you look at a couple seasons ago, the Tampa Bay Lightning were voted the top sports franchise in all of sports.
In the world.
How many times do you see a hockey team at the top of that list?
And they're still towards the top.
Right.
Not number one already.
And that says something
mm-hmm.
about how the game has grown.
Mm-hmm.
For that to happen. And it's not just because we know that all the people here in Tampa Bay are amazing. It means that hockey has grown in popularity. And that's a huge deal because it was always kind of like the redheaded stepchild. I can say that because I actually am one. but it was kind of the redheaded stepchild of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the changes that they've had to make, I mean, they had to make these changes.
They did.
It could have gone a very different way.
And I think the way that they've incorporated the changing times of our new digital world.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys ever watched that Paul Bissonnette.
Oh, Biz Nasty?
Get out
of
here.
His segments?
Get out of here.
They're great.
He does this thing, basically, what's in the box.
Right, and the Lightning have done it, too, with their players.
They have. But this is like the NHL's version with Paul Bissonnette, who, one of the last enforcers, literally, fourth line, goofy, silly guy.
He's perfect for that.
He is so good at it. I should put this on our Facebook page because the Tyler Seguin one is absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. But anyways, you know, it's what's in the box and stuff like that. So, I mean, the fact that the NHL is like having fun with these guys, we see,
we're seeing more of the
Briz
personalities
when he goes out and does these crazy things for covering the NHL.
Right.
It's just awesome.
Yeah. And I really like the in-game features that they've been doing where they have one player interview another player and vice versa. And you kind of get to see their personality. Like, who knew Victor Hedman was a funny guy? So... Go to Bolts TV or Lightning TV on TampaBayLightning.com and watch some of those segments or the mic'd up segments are great.
Yeah, the mic'd up are great.
So, you know, they're just kind of, they're trying to, the NHL used to focus on Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, and they would promote games with that. Now they're promoting games with teams because they're all superstars.
Yeah.
Like, this day and age of hockey, they're all skilled, they're all fast, they're all superstars. I mean, you look at our roster and you're like, okay, Steven Stamkos, but Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, Andrei Vasilevsky, Louis Domingue. I mean, they're all superstars. So,
and the other thing, quickly, is that we didn't know the hockey players a few years ago. You knew the guys on your team. But you didn't know anybody else. You didn't know them personality.
Right.
You didn't see their personality.
Right.
And now we are. And, you know, there was a time when you didn't like PK Subban.
Right. And now,
gosh,
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
You think he's entertaining. He's not as grating on you.
He's very entertaining.
He does a good job. He's a good ambassador of
the sport.
The sport. They're not these. Yes, I had a check last night. It was fun. I like hockey. These guys are funny.
Yeah.
And we get their personalities.
And they're all on social media. And so you get to see their personality that way. I mean, it's.
The sport's
done
evolved
it right.
So much.
Yes. Even in the last 5-6 years.
Yes.
It's done so much. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with our guest, the esteemed Matt Salmon. Did I use that right? I don't know.
Lightning guru.
Okay. Lightning guru, Matt Salmon. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Tori.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we teased it in the first segment. We have our lightning radio guru, our Yoda. It's Matt Salmon joining us. Hello, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm looking a little less green today, but I'll take the Yoda compliment any day. I'm doing well. How are you ladies doing?
We're well. I don't know how we couldn't be good around here, but remind everybody where they can find you on social media and then where, if you're, where they can hear you.
Yeah, you can find me on social media, on Twitter mostly. It is less of a cesspool than Facebook with political rants, but... Salmon says, SAMMONSEV is the Twitter handle. And I quietly lurk in the corners of Twitter and I'll occasionally pop up with some useless factoid about something. And you occasionally can hear me on the Power Play podcast, which is kind of in a gap filler mode on Lightning Power Play by choice. And also The Last Call following home games with Baron England. So I'm here and I'm there. I'm pretty much everywhere still.
So before we get into like what's happening with the team, because we always kind of do a mid-season recap with you, can you kind of talk to us about the growth of Lightning Power Play and how like other teams are kind of keeping their eye on us and trying to replicate our success?
Yeah, they're trying to steal our secrets. No, actually, it's kind of a collaborative effort, too. Not that we've all gotten around a meeting table and shared notes, but we're in the 5th season of Lightning Power Play, believe it or not. And this program was one of the many that came on in that first season. So give yourselves a pat on the back, too.
Yay!
But, we've made it this far, so let's keep on doing it, right?
Right.
But, and this is something I addressed during the off season. We looked at, the programming. We looked at the numbers, the quote unquote ratings, if you will. But the statistics of listenership through the regular season over 4 years, and fortunately during those 4 years, 3 of them have featured very deep playoff runs. So you're able to pull together a pretty good audience with that. And we finally decided, our original mission of becoming a landing zone, as I like to call it, for hockey fans and Lightning fans in particular, in a very football-heavy region, which the Tampa Bay area is, we accomplished that. And we've not only seen growth, but also people coming here and sticking around here for a while. So we decided that round 2 would be to grow even more in the sense of becoming the destination for hockey talk, hockey games. It's something that's going to still take some time to do, but I think we're well on our way to doing it. So it's been a lot of fun seeing this thing grow. It's also been a lot of fun, not just because it's nice to have an idea that kind of comes together rather well, but also to prove everybody that I wasn't completely insane. That there was actually some, common sense behind what we were doing. So, it took a while, but we've gotten there. And other teams have not only taken notes, but also other teams, whether with our, consensus or just on their own, have grown their own digital footprint too. We've seen the Devils and the Islanders are working together. They're still in the early stages, the Kings as well. And, the Flyers have done things here and there. And, we in the Capitals have been doing it for, 5 years now. So it's a lot of fun to see the league or teams in the league kind of coming around to this. And it's also emblematic of the times. Everyone's getting their information from other places, and we're happy to provide what we can for Lightning fans and really hockey fans as a whole.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really the people that are listening right now that are helping us stick around and, helping us grow this. So if you're listening, thank you. We appreciate it. So let's kind of get the season recap. We haven't talked to you yet this season. Really not much to complain about. I feel like we've been trying to be very nitpicky, which is a luxury, really. But kind of give us your take on the season as it stands right now.
Yeah, I think when the season boils down to people, I wouldn't say complaining, but constantly asking, when do we see Danik Martel? When do we see Eddie Pasquale? who gets out of the lineup when, Anton Strahlman comes back? Questions like that. That's actually a good situation to be in when those are your prime concerns. This has been a heck of a season, to say the least. I think we all knew that, the Lightning was going to be a good team and was going to be a contender. And let's be honest, we're still not quite at the halfway point. There's still a lot of hockey to play. But I think what you've seen in the first, basically,
third
of the season, you've seen a team that is not only living up to expectations, but a team that is very hungry, a team that is not merely resting on its laurels and assuming that it's going to be a Stanley Cup contender. They're working hard in every facet of the game. Yes, I know there have been several games, in fact, a few recent ones where, the team is down a couple of goals at any point in time. But even in those situations, me as an observer, just watching them play, you feel pretty confident when you go, we're not out of this game. And if I, the observer, watching this from a press box or my couch, can think of this, I mean, just imagine what the players are thinking. I mean, they know that they're not ever out of a game. And we've only really had maybe two clunkers this season. So, I think we're not only living up to expectations, but exceeding expectations in terms of the regular season. But we all know this team is going to be measured by what they do in the postseason. I actually saw a very interesting tweet from Tom Galitti, who works for NHL.com. I saw it over the weekend. And he said, the Lightning are becoming kind of the Washington Capitals of the past, which is good and bad. The good is that they're really wowing people with their performance. The bad is you still haven't quite gotten to the ultimate goal. The Capitals certainly did that last season. So we're certainly satisfied with the start. You're feeling pretty good about the long game here, about how this team is going to play this season as long as everyone stays healthy. But the ultimate question is, can you win that prize at the end there? And that's ultimately what's going to define this season for the team.
So what exactly has changed with this team? Because we talked to Brian Burns last week. And we brought up the fact that they seem very, very poised. It is a confidence. You don't feel like, uh-oh, this isn't good. They're down two goals going into the third. This year, when they get behind, it's kind of like, not taking it for granted, but a feeling of it's not the end of the world. Everything's, they got this. They know what they're doing. What has changed? Because it's not the roster, really. I mean, of course, it helps having, Joseph, Mathieu, and these, Chernak's been playing fantastic. Of course, it helps. But what is it that makes this roster, this team, playing with so much confidence?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things, because you're right. It's not the roster in the sense that there wasn't a massive turnover. There wasn't a huge free agent signing. There wasn't a massive trade. Despite all the speculation and hope that maybe a John Tavares or an Erik Karlsson would find their way here. But I think that the roster does play an impact in the sense that this team is talented enough to to where John Cooper can roll four lines, and it's not your typical, okay, we only have two scoring lines and everybody else is just keeping the puck out of their own net. Now, granted, that is still part of the primary role of the third and fourth line, but we've seen on that third line, we've seen an Anthony Cirelli or a Matthew Joseph score timely goals and out-hustle the competition. Alex Killorn's quietly putting together an incredible regular season. I think he often gets overlooked because you've got Stamkos and Kucherov and Point and those guys kind of above in the pecking order. And then you look at the fourth line, you can not only have a Ryan Callahan and a Cedric Paquette. Matthew Joseph's played there. JT Miller's played there. Adam Ernie's been there for much of the season. They can not only deliver a big hit, they can not only stir things up when need be, but who would have thought Seti Paquette would have as many game-winning goals or crucial game-tying goals as he's had this season? You could tell Ryan Callahan's feeling 100%, and that's Ryan Callahan we like to see. So, you know, they're able to roll these four lines here, and that is a combination of keeping the core together. So keeping your Stamkos and your Kucherov and your Johnson and your Palat, re-signing Yanni Gourde. I'm confident that Braden Point's going to, you know, find a deal here as well. But also keeping that pipeline stocked between here and Syracuse and, you know, Orlando and junior clubs beyond with draft picks, you know, to be able to bring up a Cirelli, to bring up a Joseph, to bring up an Eric Chernak, and to have this youth that can contribute and it's ready for the big league game. And they mesh real well with the guys who've been here for a few years. Also, I think one of the big changes is, you know, just the defensive scheme. The defensive scheme was getting a little predictable. They made changes, and, you know, Todd Richards was, you know, moved into that position of figuring out the defensive attack, and that's what it's been. It's not only protecting their own end of the ice, but, you know, really the Lightning defense, the way that's changed is in their end, they'll give the other team the perimeter. Go ahead, take your shots, but take them from the point. Take them from the half wall. Take them from 40 or 50 feet out. Guess what? The guy in net, whether it's Andrei Vasilevsky or Louis Domingue, they're going to stop those pucks. And you'll see, even when there's a rebound, even when there's a loose puck somewhere in the slot or you know, beneath the circles, the defense collectively, if they're playing their role right, and sometimes they've been out of place, but most of the time they're playing it right, they collapse in real well and they clear that puck out rather quickly. They exit the zone rather efficiently. So you've seen defensive changes. The defense is getting into scoring as well. We've had a lot of points from there. And then I think, you know, from the X's and O's standpoint, too, I think it is expectations. I think last season was such a heartbreak for this team. Granted, you know, they lost to the Capitals, their eventual Stanley Cup champions, and the team that once they got over Pittsburgh, they were on a mission. And you just knew the Capitals were going to be a buzzsaw, and what do you know? They were. But, you know, a lot of the players on this team – I think they're sick and tired of losing to eventual Stanley Cup champions. It happened to Washington or against Washington last year, happened against Pittsburgh 2 years ago, happened against Chicago 3 years ago. You get a little tired of being the bridesmaid. Mm-hmm. So this team, I think, is really motivated to prove everybody wrong. Now, again, ultimately, once you get to the playoffs, that'll be determined. But, you know, even though the window is open for a while, even though this core group is going to be here for a while, even though I think this team is going to be contender for the next several years, as anybody will show you, you only have so many cracks at it. And all you have to do is look at Alex Ovechkin. You know, Ovechkin has been in the league since 2005, and it took him years, took him 13 years to finally get the Stanley Cup championship. And who knows if he'll get another one after that. I think the players see that and they realize, yeah, we're going to be good. We'll be in the picture here, but we've got to win it. And I think that's something that is very quietly driving their mission this season. And so far, it's so good. And we'll see how it plays out the second half of the season and in the postseason as well.
So we've had a couple really good teams come through here. Buffalo, it was a fight for first place when they came in. We prevailed. The Colorado game, we win 7-1. And everybody was saying that was kind of going to be a statement game. And now we look ahead and we have Toronto, who's right on our heels with Tavares, you know, joining that team and Austin Matthews. you think that's going to be another statement game, another playoff atmosphere come later this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, it's so funny. We often look at road trips and we say, all right, well, we're going to go out for four games or five games. You got to come back with, you know, at least 8 points or you know, however, you know. John Cooper has before said, you know, split the number of points available in a half and get at least that. And, you know, the Lightning have done rather well on the road, and you're able to say, hey, we beat Pittsburgh, you know, in Pittsburgh. We beat Philadelphia. We beat this team and that team. But you look at this current homestand, you know, Colorado, Boston, the Rangers, the Maple Leafs, all different challenges. All different styles of play, teams that are in kind of different situations here. And Toronto is definitely going to be one of those measuring stick games, I think, not only because the Lightning want to open up the spread between them and the Maple Leafs in the standings, but this is probably a team you're going to see in the playoffs at some point in time here. So how do you match up against them? And the Lightning and Leafs has always been an entertaining matchup because, you know, you get some snowbirds down here. The building's rocking. No matter how good or bad the Leafs are, you got the Leafs fans in the building. The Lightning fans are shouting back. And really, in the last couple of years, we've seen the Leafs rebuild, you know, ramp up. And you've got some incredible talent on that team, too. And as we've seen in Detroit and Anaheim before that, Mike Babcock finds a way to will his team to good positions here. And, of course, with Team Canada at the Olympics, too. So, yeah, I think the Maple Leaf game is definitely another measuring stick. I think when you look back at some past games, that Colorado game was just amazing, not just because of the final score, but the Lightning just did not let the foot off the gas pedal. They were very physical. They took advantage of the few mistakes the Avalanche made, especially on the power play. And they made one of the top teams in the West Conference, or Western Conference, look like the Colorado Avalanche of 3-4 years ago, you know, the bad Avalanche teams. So, you know, when you can kind of manhandle one of the best teams like Colorado, when you can be up to the challenge of an up-and-coming team like Buffalo, when you can play the same game, a little bit of a slower game, but still an intense game against a Boston Bruins team, you know, when you can come back against a desperate team like Florida or Detroit, like we saw on the previous road trip, that bodes really well for this team. It doesn't matter the situation they're in. They're finding ways to win. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that game against Toronto on Thursday night because, you know, if you really want to measure yourself up against one of the division rivals, a team you're probably going to face in the playoffs, and a team that you want to show, no, we're still king of the hill. You guys are up and coming, but we're still on top here. That could be a very entertaining game. It could go either way. It can go 6-5, be a wild and crazy game, or it's going to be 1-0. But it'll be entertaining either way, I guarantee you that.
Well, I'm shipping a tranquilizer gun for myself in preparation for that game because, oh, man, heart rate's going to be off the charts. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Matt Salmon on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
We're joined by our guest, Lightning Radio Guru, Matt Salmon, and we just kind of gave a season recap of the season a third of the way through so far. Let's talk about the goaltending, because I think when Andre Vasilevsky went down, people were a little panicked. They were just a little unsure. We haven't seen a lot of Louis Domingue. We haven't seen that much.
You don't hang out in the corners of Twitter.
It's a scary and dark place. I try not to go there. But Louis Domingue comes in. He's third in the NHL in goaltenders right now. It's just, I don't know.
And my
I can't
opinion
make any
that,
sense of it.
My opinion is I've seen him get better and better and better and more confident and more comfortable. And
the players around him being confident.
I'm so impressed with his play that I think if I had to give like a
gold star
award, like it would go to Louis Domingue. I think he was in. It's not easy Andre Vasilevsky is one of the best goaltenders in this league. I think it was really a big test, and I am just like, wow, blown away by how he's responded.
Yeah, and I think, and I don't want to draw too many comparisons to the 03-04 team just yet, but when you look back at the history books of that season, your quiet MVP, you know, your runner-up, if you will, was John Graham.
Yep.
John Graham was the number two goaltender. Nikolai Hobby-Bulin was having a lot of trouble in December, January, just stopping anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that actually the Lightning, after having a good start in October, really struggled in November and were terrible in December before they finally were able to turn it around. And John Graham was a big part of that. And once Nick was able to find his game, and honestly, John Graham made a couple of mistakes off the ice that did not win the favor of John Tortorella, the head coach at the time. Nick took over in Nets, and it was just lights out from then on out, basically the next 4 months right up through the Stanley Cup championship in Game 7. It was his boat to drive, and he did extremely well. Hopefully, maybe that's the same outcome for the Lightning this season, but I think it starts with the team having confidence in their netminder. And, you know, keep in mind, too, while a lot of people weren't necessarily sure of, you know, can Louis Domingue do this for 4 to 6 weeks as the, you know, the injury prognosis was for Andre Vasilevsky, that broken bone in his foot. You know, Louis Domingue was a number one goaltender in several different situations, in junior, in the minor leagues, with the Arizona Coyotes before they jettisoned him last season. You know, nobody goes into playing professional hockey going, you know what, I'm going to be a darn good number two goaltender. Nobody thinks that. You know, now, realistically, well, maybe you are a number two, or you're kind of a third wheel. You know, you're kind of in a position like, you know, Eddie Pasquale, a guy who, you know, took 9 years to make his NHL debut. You know, sometimes you're in that position and you mm-hmm. just kind of manage it. But Louis Domingue has shown that he can be a number one goaltender, and it certainly helps when you have talent around you. And Louis's time in net over the last several weeks, not perfect, but especially during a little bit of a rough stretch in late November, when he had to come up with a big save, he often did. When mm-hmm. he had to come up with a timely save, he often did. And when you've got a team with as much offensive talent and enough good defensive structure around you to where it only comes down to just make the next save and we'll take it from here, that's going to help out the goaltender's cause as well. And then I really think the game against Boston earlier in this homestand might have been his best performance of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the score is lopsided against Colorado, I thought he had some key stops in that game as well. And, you know, it goes to show that Louis Domingue can come in, whether it be in a pinch, in a back-to-back, or for a long stretch.
Yeah, yep.
Certainly hold down the fort. And I remember at the draft this past summer in Dallas, the team signed him to that 2-year extension, and there were some people, you know, greater minds of the hockey world going, Louis Domingue, 2 years? Really? Are you sure? Well, now you're seeing why. Because when you need him, he can come up with that big save. And plus, he's a really good guy. He's great in the locker room. Mm-hmm. He knows he's extremely fortunate. Don't forget, just a year ago, he's, you know, practicing with Shane Doan on a public rink in mm-hmm. Phoenix at late hours of night because he didn't know where his career was going. And, you know, he knows that he's blessed to be in this situation. He's going to make the best of it. And, you know, I think when you kind of get that mix all together here, you know, a talented enough goaltender with a good personality, good attitude, and the players like him and play for him, that's going to, you know, help the team moving forward.
Yeah, and then you look at Eddie Pasquale, who you mentioned before, 9 years to get his first NHL start, and he wins in Detroit on a shootout. I mean, you couldn't, it's like a Disney movie waiting right. to happen.
Yeah, in fact, you know, if John Scott can get over his movie and book offers, the Eddie Pasquale story's got to come around. And, you know, let's be honest, that may be the only NHL action Eddie Pasquale ever sees. But you know what?
Yeah.
He can tell his kids, he can tell his grandkids, I played in the NHL, I won in a shootout against a team I used to play for. You know, he was in Grand Rapids a couple of years ago when they won the Calder Cup championship. And, you know, it's good for him
yeah.
because you've heard some of the stories behind, you know, he was a fourth-round pick of the Thrashers back in 2009 and was making his way through the organization, suffered a hip injury, underwent surgery for that. The surgery did not go well. So he had to go under a second surgery to correct the first one. And basically, and he told us this after the postgame show, or after the Boston game on our postgame show, you know, he said he didn't touch a puck for 18 months.
Oh, my gosh.
So that makes it even more amazing.
Wow.
Never mind that you have to wait 9 years and 245 games and however many organizations you've played for. There's a 1.5 year gap there, yet he was still good enough to mentor Connor Ingram in Syracuse, to get several wins for Syracuse this season, to patiently wait behind Reitman in Tampa Bay. And when he got his one call, at least so far this season, but, you know, the one call he's gotten, he delivered. And he's still beating himself up for letting in 5 goals.
Aww.
I'm sure there's a couple that he would like to have back. But much like Louis Domingue, when Eddie Pizzuoli needed to make a big save, he did. And he made several big saves in that third period when the Lightning was down, and then ultimately when they were tied, to get it to overtime. That's the key thing. Get it to OT. Let's at least get a point on the road.
Yep.
And then when it comes down to the shootout, it's shutting down. And the funny thing is, Eddie told me and Brian Engblom, because we're thinking, oh, well, he was once with the Detroit organization. Did you know what these guys are going to do? And he's like, well, you know, I didn't know through practice or anything. I know through watching the NHL center ice package. So, you know, goes to show you how entertaining nights in Syracuse can be at some time of year. But he's got the center ice package. He's watched a few Red Wings games. He's like, oh, yeah, Franz Nielsen, I need to do this. He's already torched me with a hat trick. Let me just stop one more. Oh, I know Vanek's going to go this way. Like, he knew Vanek was going to try to flip it up over his glove, so he had that played. So it's a great promotion for NHL.
Yeah. Players. Yeah, get that guy an endorsement.
You too can be an NHL goalie.
Yeah, right?
But it is a great story, and, you know, you don't want to, in the grand scheme of things, if the Lightning wins the Stanley Cup, it's not because of that one game that Eddie Pizzuoli played. You know, if the Lightning wins the Stanley Cup, he's kind of going down in the echelons of the, you know, the Stan Nemeczkas of the world, or the Eric Parents kind of chipped in when needed. But it is such a great story, and, you know, at the very least, he's sharing it with his family. He's got a lot of great memories, and hopefully, you know, maybe some book or movie or, you know, motivational speaking tour comes out of it in due time.
Yeah, I know Jerry Bruckheimer is a little busy with Seattle, but I think he's got a movie treatment right here waiting for him.
Yeah, but Jerry Bruckheimer involves aliens and explosions. I don't know if that's part of the Eddie Pizzuoli story, but at least we'll reach out to Bob Iger and Disney.
There you go. All right, so we've been asking all of our guests this season, because it's so hard to pick just one, so we kind of like the perspective of everybody. But if you had to pick a standout player from this season, just one, who would you choose?
Braden Point.
Okay. Yep, we've heard that one a couple times.
I think that's our that's the popular.
But what's the thinking behind it from you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you say it's so hard to pick because, you know, Andre Vasilevsky could be your MVP. You know, Victor Hedman's a Norris Trophy winner, and I mean, we're just bursting with offensive talent, whether it's older core players or younger guys like Joseph and Cirelli, like we talked about before. But, you know, Brian and I were talking about this after the Colorado game, and it's because Braden Point was our guest, and once he left and, you know, he's out of the room, we addressed the elephant in the room, which is, of course, everyone panicking about his contract situation.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really nothing we need to worry about here. But, you know, Braden Point, you know, this is Steven Stamkos' team as captain. There's a lot of players collectively who contribute to the success of this team. But often it's Braden Point who's finding himself in the right place at the right time. He finds the time and space to make plays happen. And what really amazes me is, as of now, he's on pace to score 59 goals this season.
Whoa.
That would be the most since Steven Stamkos scored 60 back in 2011-12.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, Patrick Laine and Alex Ovechkin are also in that same company. And hockey is not played in a vacuum. Now, there's injuries, there's dry spells, but, you know, if he were to play 82 games at this pace, he would notch probably about 59 goals. Keeping in mind that that's probably not going to happen, but even if he, quote-unquote, only gets 40 or 45 goals, I mean, how many 50-goal scorers do you have in the league today? Not that many. So if you're eclipsing 40, you're putting yourself in a good spot, and I could see him absolutely doing it. But what amazes me, too, about Braden Point is not only that he's getting X number of goals when the season is said and done for, but who is he getting these goals against? Braden Point is 98% of the time getting put on the ice against the top lines of every team the Lightning plays. And when you're constantly going up against the top line, your main role is don't let them score on you. And he and his line mates, especially Nikita Kucherov, throughout the season, but as of late, Tyler Johnson, the last couple of weeks they've been together, they're continuing to shut down these opposition lines, and they're still scoring big goals. And that's what I think really makes Braden Point, in my opinion, the, you know, I don't want to say MVP, but the key player for this team, because he's scoring goals, he's helping keep goals out of his net. He is, you know, a spark plug. He's a guy who's humble. He's a guy who not only creates scoring opportunities, but finishes them as well. And whatever he gets in that next contract, he's going to be worth every penny. And I could tell you there'll be people around the league, whenever that deal is done, they'll go, he probably could have gotten more, because that's just how valuable he is. So, yeah, I can't say enough about Braden Point. I've said this for, you know, the last couple of years. He is as exciting to watch without the puck as he is with. And if you ever get the chance, if you're at a game and you ever get the chance to just watch Braden Point for a few shifts with and without the puck, you'll completely understand that. This guy is so gifted, so smart, so dangerous, yet, like I said, humble, a team player. There's 30 other teams in the NHL who wish they could have a Braden Point on their team.
Well, and I think with that, I think that that's, we really can't say any more about that. So thank you so much for joining us, Matt. We really appreciate it. And thanks for letting us be on the radio and do this thing.
And thanks to everybody for listening. And we certainly hope you continue to enjoy the programming. And ladies, keep up the great work. And let's keep plugging away here and get to the playoffs once again. Have another deep run.
That's Matt Salmon. Don't forget you can follow him on Twitter at Salmon Says, SammonSez. Dory, what?
I forgot to ask him if he would send us to Seattle.
I think we have some time.
Okay.
We'll get to it. Right. And don't forget, we're on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Speaking of Seattle, tweet us what you think the team in Seattle should be named, their theme, all that good stuff. And we can talk about it on the show next week. And we've also tweeted out a story from Joe Smith at The Athletic about Kaylee Chelios and women being more involved in the presentation of hockey. And we're out of time, so we got to go. We'll catch you next week and see you at the rink.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.